The specific period of time that Jesus calls tribulation in Matthew 24 is also referenced in Daniel 9:27. I'm Dr. Fred. You're listening to another episode of Study, Grow, Know.
Welcome to Study, Grow, Know, where we discuss theology, prophecy, and current political issues from a conservative biblical perspective. Here's your host, Dr. Fred DeRuvo.
Well, thank you for joining me. This is Dr. Fred. You're listening to Study, Grow, Know, and this is the fourth in our ongoing series of the tribulation. Now, last time we talked about the various aspects of tribulation versus the tribulation. We talked about some other things as well, but we want to start getting specific in this one, and we need to understand that this specific tribulation that Jesus talks about in Matthew 24 is also referred to in Daniel 9:27. There, we read about the 70th week, and I believe that week, from the context of chapter 9 in Daniel, is dealing with years. I think we're talking about 7 years, and I mentioned that if you'd like to pick up my book, Between Weeks, I go into that in detail and explain why that week, that 70th week in Daniel 9:27 is actually referencing 7 years. But there's other places in scriptures as well, and there are specific reasons why God has decreed that this period of 7 years will occur as the tribulation slash great tribulation. Now, last time I also mentioned that while I think it is excellent and noteworthy to study the Bible when it talks about things like upcoming prophecy that has not yet been fulfilled, I think we do a huge disservice, not only to ourselves, but to people, both within and without of the church, if we do not tell them, if we do not help them understand that ultimately what matters most is their eternal state. We dare not look at upcoming situations, prophetic situations in Scripture that have not occurred yet but are destined to occur. We cannot look at those and simply focus on them as if they are the end in themselves. They are a means to an end, but what we need to make people aware of is that, you know what? These things are coming, but your death is coming too. Now, that may sound depressing, but it's real. A lot of times people argue about when the rapture is going to happen, when this is going to happen, whether they think we're in the tribulation, others say we're not there yet, etc., etc. But here's something that is totally true that we can't really argue against. It's certainly not using common sense. All of us will die. All of us. And not one person who hears my voice, or me included, can determine when that God-appointed day will arrive, can we? So we need to make sure that the people that we touch base with, that we come in contact with, that we rub elbows with every day, we need to make sure that we're doing all we can to ensure that they hear the gospel. Maybe it's just a word, a sentence or two. Maybe if nothing else, we pray for them in passing. We've got to become mindful of this situation that affects 150,000 people every day who leave this life and end up in eternity, most of whom are not saved. But getting back to this, it's great to study this. It's very good to study it because it's part of his word. But we must not lose sight of the fact that Jesus commanded us to fulfill the Great Commission. And that Great Commission is preaching the gospel to all people of all nations, making them disciples. Why? So that they will have eternal life. A knowledge of the tribulation, an understanding of the biblical nature of prophecy, does not in itself provide eternal life. It is believing in who Jesus was when he came, that he lived a perfect life, that he chose to die on our behalf so that we would not have to. And through his death and his resurrection, salvation has been made possible to all who believe. And that salvation is life-changing. It is not simply a different view of things. It is life changing. It comes into our life and prompts us to move in a new direction because the Holy Spirit himself takes up residence within us. Now, that is far more important than any knowledge we might gain about the tribulation or the rapture or the millennial kingdom or other prophecies. While those things are very important, salvation, the message of the gospel, trumps it. So please, we can't forget that. We should learn these things, if for no other reason than to get our minds on something other than our own lives, so that our lives become more purified, that we realize, hey, you know what? I'm not here for myself. I'm here so that God can use me because his timetable continues to move ahead. So with that in mind, let's learn about the tribulation. But let's also please remember that people need the Lord. 150,000 people die every day. Most don't know him. That is a sad fact and something that we Christians are the only ones who have any type of real gospel ammunition for those people. So let's remember that. All right, please note, you know, if you were to get this, hopefully I'm going to be putting out this book on the tribulation. If you get it, I'm including charts and stuff. Now, there are charts that I'm going to be using that highlight aspects of what is going to be the tribulation and what it entails, how long it's going to last, what's included. But what I find interesting is that the Bible tells us in Daniel 9, 24 through 27, that there are a number of reasons, six in fact, for what Jesus refers to as tribulation / great tribulation in his Olivet Discourse of Matthew 24. There are six reasons this tribulation, I believe, is coming onto this world, and it's to finish the transgression. And these things, by the way, are directed toward Israel, because throughout the book of Daniel, whether it's Gabriel or another angel, referring to the people of Israel, he often refers to them as Daniel's people, Daniel's holy city, the holy city of Jerusalem, Daniel's people, referring to the Jews of Israel. Now, of course, today as Christians, we assume, rightly, that it goes beyond that as well, that we don't just witness to Jews, we witness to Gentiles. We witness to everyone who is lost, whether they're Jew or Gentile. And if you're Jewish today and you die in your sin without having received Jesus as Messiah, you are no better off than a Gentile today who dies in his or her sin without receiving salvation from the only one who provides it, and that's Jesus. But as far as Daniel was concerned and how it affects his people, the land of Israel, his holy city, it is to finish the transgression, which is tied to the rejection of Messiah. Israel rejected the Messiah, as we know. Because of that, they were judged in AD 70. But that judgment was not also, I don't believe, as some would have us believe, the coming of Jesus in his second coming. I believe Acts 1 makes it very, very clear that the physical coming of Jesus is going to be just that, physical. Every eye is going to see him. We're not talking about spiritual eyes here. We are talking about physical eyes here. And I think that that is very clear from the context of Acts chapter 1. It's difficult really to argue against that. And the only way to do that is to allegorize that portion of scripture. I'm opposed to that. I know that other people have no problem with it. That's between them and the Lord. But I think the reality here is that in Acts chapter 1, we learn that Jesus is coming back again physically. All right, that is emphasized. The same way he went up in the clouds. How did he go up in the clouds in Acts chapter 1? Physically. It was not a figment of an imagination. It was not a spiritual ascension. It was a physical ascension. So the Jews in Israel need to get beyond this transgression. And how do they get beyond this transgression? There needs to be a generation that acknowledges that Jesus is Messiah. And I believe that that will happen when he returns. When he returns, I think just before he returns, and I think the Bible is clear on this, there will be an awakening among the nation of Israel so that they will realize where their salvation lies. It is to make an end of sin, secondly. Thirdly, it is to make reconciliation for iniquity. Fourth, it is to bring in an age of righteousness. When Jesus returns, there will be judgment. He will judge the nations, the sheep and the goats. He will make an end of sin. He will reconcile for all the iniquity that has occurred, and he will bring in an age of righteousness. We normally refer to this age as the millennial kingdom lasting 1,000 years, from which he will rule from Jerusalem at his father's throne, his father here, earthly father being David, the lineage. Look at the three Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke. We learn about the lineage of Jesus Christ. And fifthly, the tribulation is going to occur to cause a cessation of prophecy. They will realize there's no more need for it. Jesus is the fulfillment of it. He will make things right. He will do what is biblically necessary and foretold, and it will be to anoint the most holy place. Now, there's a lot more to this, but those are the six basic reasons, I believe, for this coming period of tribulation. And that's why the tribulation is going to occur. It will allow God to pull out and perfect a final remnant of those within the nation of Israel. When I read the book of Revelation, I find it fascinating that there are people who come out of the tribulation with their robes washed in the blood of their own lives. In other words, they refuse to reject Jesus Christ during the tribulation. They refuse to recant their witness. They refuse to deny him, and because of that, they give up their lives in persecution to death. The numbers of people that the Apostle John in the book of Revelation says that exist at that point, that he sees coming out of the tribulation through death, are so large that he can't number them. It is a multitude. And a multitude, and a multitude. It is just incredibly large. There will be millions and millions of people coming out of the tribulation who receive salvation because of Jesus and what he offers. And people will come to realize that. And there will be as many and more who reject Christ. But I also believe that during the tribulation, God prepares a final remnant. And during the millennial kingdom, these Jews will, after the tribulation, as representatives of the nation of Israel, enjoy all the land that was originally promised to Israel via Abraham. That's the main reason for the coming tribulation / great tribulation. It is to fulfill those six things, to finish the transgression, to make an end of sin, to bring in an age of righteousness, to cause the cessation of prophecy, to make reconciliation for iniquity, and to anoint the most holy place. That's why the tribulation happens. But the tribulation is a time that God has chosen to pour out his wrath on the earth, onto the nations who have rejected him, God the Savior, and those same nations who have treated Israel reprehensibly. You know, we're going to spend time in upcoming episodes looking at the many aspects of the tribulation period. When it begins, what happens when, what happens after that, and what occurs after that. We're going to follow this through line to learn more about the tribulation period. But I just want to kind of end in saying there is a very, very specific starting point of the tribulation. And even though there are numbers of people on the internet who actually believe we are in the time of the tribulation, that this seal has taken place, this one has opened, that trumpet has blown, etc., I don't believe we're there yet. But we'll talk about the thing that starts it off next time. So thanks for joining me. Really do appreciate it. I hope you benefit from this series. Remember, our mission is to introduce people to Christ. So until we meet again, I pray that God will open your eyes to show you how blessed you are.
You've been listening to Study, Grow, Know with Dr. Fred DeRuvo. Please join us each week for new broadcasts that deal with theology, prophecy, and political issues from a biblical, conservative perspective.